It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne, and we'll spend the next few minutes getting an update on Haiti. Beyond the thousands of buildings collapsed into heaps of dust and rubble when the earthquake hit, thousands more are still standing. Many of those, though, are so damaged they shouldn't be occupied. American engineers are now going through some of those buildings, assessing damage and often telling those inside to find another place to live or to work. It's a bitter piece of news to absorb, and it demonstrates the challenges Haitians face as they try to put their lives back together. NPR's Juan Ferrero reports from Port-au-Prince.
At the mixed Assembly of God, a school and church, elderly congregants raise their arms to the sky and sing for a better day. Their evangelical church still stands. So do the cinder block additions that housed classrooms for neighborhood children. But fallen walls and eggshell cracks across those still standing foretell trouble. Perhaps a complete collapse with a strong tremor.
For us in America, that's a red. Don't go in.
That's Darlene Clovis, a Haitian-American, Creole-speaking mechanical engineer from New Jersey. She volunteered to assess damage. And she says an annex that serves as a classroom is so seriously damaged that she won't step inside, even as Pastor Celestine Jean-Robert urged her to.
I said, no, I'm not going in.
The 28-year-old normally works for the Department of Defense. And on this day, she and Craig Totten, a 39-year-old structural engineer from Seattle-based KPFF, are going from school to school. As they chip at a wall, Totten says they're examining the integrity of the cinder blocks.
Mainly this type of construction is masonry, unreinforced masonry blocks with concrete columns and floors. So really what we're looking to see is what kind of damage has occurred in the masonry to see if it's decreased the capacity of the building to resist a bigger aftershock.
So far, the outlook is not good. UN officials say perhaps 20% of the city's structures collapsed, and perhaps 80% of those still standing suffered serious damage.
Yeah, it's just shocking numbers, isn't it? It's going to take a decade for this city to recover.
The results from their surveys and those from other teams of volunteer engineers will go to the Haitian government. It's up to Haitian inspectors to then condemn buildings or give the green light for their use. Totten says that what he and Clovis have seen in building after building is soft mortar, poorly mixed concrete, rickety columns. The cinder blocks are made from material so grainy that it peels away with your fingernails. No wonder some of the buildings that collapsed looked like they'd been pulverized by some huge hammer, Totten says.
The magnitude 7 earthquake, the shaking they actually got, the ground accelerations they had here were not that severe. There was a lot of damage here, but if it had been closer to the city, if it had been shallower, I think there would have been a lot more buildings down than what we've actually seen.
At the community evangelical school in a densely packed neighborhood, roosters crow, but the kids aren't back in the three-story building. And Francillon Ilasi, the principal, has been told that the third floor needs big repairs. He's not surprised.
Maybe they didn't take care about when they were doing the construction. They didn't do it according to a rule. That's what we're doing in Haiti all the time. We just build, but we don't really take care about what we're doing.
That lack of attention to details could have brought down another school, the Le Frère Saint-Cyr School. It's still standing, but Darlene Clovis tells the principal, Marc Sincere, that it needs big repairs.
Okay.
She tells the principal it may not look bad, but it really is. And she says that until the repairs are made, no one should be inside. Juan Ferrero, NPR News, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.